I have a message for you today, and I want you to turn your Bibles to, I'm going to start off with Matthew chapter 18, verse 1. I'm going to start off with that scripture first, Matthew 18, verse 1, and we're going to talk about the faith of a little child. Hey, Fancy. Come here, Fancy. Come here, I've got an offering for you. I want you and Gracie to come up here. Now, come here. I'm going to give you an offering, okay? Come on up here. Now, can you hold the basket so I can put it in there? Yeah. Oh, I got to put two offerings in now. Okay, turn around and face everybody. Turn around and face everybody, and I'm going to put it from behind you so they can see you. Face them. Okay, ready? I'm going to put one in there for you, and I'm going to put the rest of what I have in here for you. Okay, they're just ones. Okay, now look, faith of a little child, Matthew 18. Does everybody see what that? Now, you all got that in your minds right now? You just saw that, right? Why do we have kids take the offering? Because sometimes it takes faith to give an offering. Sometimes, but what did Jesus say? Matthew 18. He says, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who's the greatest? Who's the greatest? So they were competitive. And one thing I didn't expect when I came to church leadership was that there's competition in church leadership, just like there's competition in everything. And it kind of shocked me at first because I wasn't expecting it. But it's there, and God has to deal with it. And his disciples had that problem. They were competitive. They were jostling. Who's going to be the top disciple? And so what did he do? He put out, you know, Fancy and Gracie and said, truly I say to you, he said, you put it in the midst of them. You know, as they were all gathered together, and he put the child right in the middle of a bunch of these dudes. And he said, what did he say? Truly, amen. And anytime he said truly, he was saying the word amen, okay? So, amen, I say to you, Jesus was an amener, by the way. He said, amen, I say to you, unless you turn and become like a little child, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. And whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So here is a little child being promoted to top in the midst of all these guys. What's he trying to say to us with that? I'm going to tell you a story. I think it helps illustrate it, all right? I hope it ministers to you. He says, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. And whoever causes one of these little ones to believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. Pretty intense. Okay, so now let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. And I want you to look at this story, and I want you to see something that I've never seen in this story before. Okay? That's why I'm sharing it with you. When I would hear stories about Naaman the Syrian, okay, and his leprosy, the focus of these stories was always on Naaman. Okay? But I want you to pay attention to something. Okay? So I'm going to read it. We're going to go through chapter 5, and then we're going to exit, stage right. Okay, Naaman, the commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man. Everybody say, great man. He was a mega man. He was a big dude. I was walking the other day, I forgot where I was coming out of. We were over at the pumpkin patch up there at the wedding venue, next to y'all's wedding venue. And there was this big guy, he was like 6'8", but he wasn't skinny. He was like this. And he was a mega man. Dallas is kind of, he's the most mega of all of us, right? You're the tallest and the strongest, I would think, right? So he was a guy like, you don't want to bump into him accidentally, right? And so here's Naaman. It says he was a great man with his master, you know, the king. That was the king. And in high favor. And that's really interesting because he was in high favor. But what they were saying was, with that aspect of him being a man of high favor, it's really interesting because he was a man who was amazing. That's one of the senses of being in high favor. He was a man in the Bible that the Apostle Paul and Jesus used, the Septuagint in Greek. The Greek word for a high favor there, translated, he was amazing. When people looked at him and saw him do stuff, they kind of went, wow. That means watching a guy lift something you don't think can be lifted, or he may punch a hole in something you think can't be punched, or breaking something you think can't be broken, you know what I'm saying? Or maybe flip, do something, whatever he did, he was the Hulk of the, I have to use the Hulk because I used to read about him, but he was the big dude. And he could do things that were shockingly amazing. He was an amazing man. And people marveled at him. That means you just go like, and for some reason they wrote these comics called Marvel Comics. Well, that's what it means. It means to go, whoa, right? And so people marveled at him. They were shocked. Their jaws dropped when they saw stuff happen. Their eyes got big. However you marvel, that's what the words that they use to describe this man, Naaman. But he had a situation. It says that he was a mighty man of valor. He was powerful. He was courageous. But, there it is. The big but is what? He was a leper. So he had this disease that made him ugly. Now, he wasn't Jewish, so he wasn't treated like a pariah. You understand what I'm saying? In Israel, he would have been relegated to a what do you call it? A special place. He would not be allowed to be touched by anybody else. Yeah, he was outside the camp. He was relegated to that in Israel. But in Syria, he was the commander. He just was just an ugly dude. You know? And I don't know if people hung out in his tent. I don't know what they did. But he was just a regular guy, except he had leprosy. So he had this problem. So do you see? Does everybody understand that this story starts out with an amazing, great, mighty person? Do you see how it kind of fits with Matthew 18? Who's the best? Who's the greatest? This guy was the best. No doubt about it. Nobody better than Naaman. But yet, he had this problem. He had a need. Doesn't matter how well life is going for you, you always need Jesus. You always do. And that's what's so cool. You see somebody who's super successful in the world, right? And then they get broken and they realize, hey, I need God just as bad as the next person does. You think success would make people immune to their need, but no, they need Jesus just as much as the average person or the person that's the beggar on the street. They need Jesus. We need to bring Jesus to them. And God will use you and me to minister to the amazing people. And doesn't that happen? How many of you have seen some amazing people get saved? And you're like, wow, that person, they really, and they changed. You saw a change in them. So here's this guy. But look at this. This is the little known verse I've never heard preached. Everything I've heard preached about this story focused on Naaman. Now, Ronnie, maybe you've heard something because I know you listen to a lot of messages. So you might have heard this. Now, the Syrians, on one of their raids, had carried off a little child, in this case, a girl, from the land of Israel, and she worked in the service of Naaman's wife. Question. Same exact term. Except you become as little children. Same word. So what I'm saying is, there's a possibility that Jesus might have been thinking of this scripture. Just maybe, just thinking. Okay? When he said what he said in Matthew 18. Possible. I'm not saying he was. Same exact language. A little child. Except this was a child, a girl child. Okay, so this girl had been captured when the Syrians raided Israel. She was brought back as a slave, little girl slave, and she worked in the service of Naaman's wife. So she was an attendant. So look what she says to her mistress. Would that my Lord, she gets preachy, would that my Lord were with the prophet who's in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy. Now, she wasn't just talking gossip. I'm telling you today that she spoke a word of faith. That little child spoke a word of faith. And you're going to see, she believed God more than any one of those big people. The prince, the lady she was waiting on, and the big dude Naaman, they didn't have any faith, but that little girl had faith. Just go to the prophet, you'll be healed. And you know what happened? They believed her. This little girl. They said, let's go for it. Why? Why did Naaman go for it? Because he had leprosy. He didn't know. He couldn't get healed. He had nothing to lose. He had nothing to lose. Now, I want to show you something here because he is a picture, a predecessor to a certain person that Jesus ran into in Capernaum. Who can guess? A mighty soldier who had faith that shocked Jesus. Who was this? What's his name? What was he called? The centurion. So here you have a story in the New Testament about a centurion that amazes Jesus with his faith, and a story in the Old Testament about a great military leader who amazes, who has his little daughter who amazes, and then he does an amazing thing. He listens to the servant girl, the little girl, and does what she suggests. That is amazing. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that if you had a little kid in your family and they said, hey, I believe if you go to such and such a place and get prayer for your situation, you're going to be healed. What would you do? Robin's not here, but what would Robin do if Fancy said that to her? You see what I'm saying? What else can I do? I've got prayer everywhere else. I've been to every hospital. I've done everything. And that little kid says, hey, I knew this prophet, and I watched the Lord do amazing things with him. And then they said, sure, why not? What have we got to lose? What have we got to lose? Let's go for it. So what happens? Naaman goes in and told his man, the king. He goes to the king, and he says, his Lord, by the way. And I think that's no accident, by the way. Naaman goes and tells his Lord, thus and so spoke the girl from the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go now, and I'll send a letter with you. I'll work it all out. Because, you know, they were kind of enemies, like Syria just took, you know, slaves from Israel. Right? So I'm going to make it so that there won't be any problems. So what happens? This Naaman dude is extremely wealthy, 10 talents of silver. By the way, a talent is 75 pounds, all right? 6,000 shekels of gold and 10 changes of clothing. This is bunches of money, all right? 75, a talent of silver, that was worth a lot of money back in those days. So it wasn't just, you know, basically a talent. And I just researched this, which I thought you'd be interesting. A talent was the amount of weight. And I'm kind of sensitive to this right now with my back injury and trying to rehab. Because the doctor told me, don't lift more than first right of surgery. Don't you dare lift anything more than 10 pounds. Yes, sir. And what did I do? Eddie, guess what I did? I did. And then it hurt really bad. I tried to listen. Then I knew, yeah, duh, he told you to not lift 10 pounds, right, Tim? And then I lifted it because I didn't think. It just was habit. I had to break my habits. You know, and then the other day, there were some 25-pound weights that my son Danny left in the front of the house, and I was going to put them away. I looked at that 25-pound weight, and I said, you know, maybe I'll just try to do a squat because I'm supposed to, you know, do squats and things like that. I picked it up and did this little squat. I did it 10 times, no problem. So I thought. Then later on this week, I'm thinking, man, my back is killing me. I'm really hurting. And I'm thinking, what did I? And that's what you have to think. What on earth stupid did I do to get myself do this? And then it hit me. It took me about all day to think about it. Then I realized, you dummy, you squat with 25-pound bells like this, and you've never done that like that. See what I'm saying? So this sets you back. I said, like, why is, because I was running around that pumpkin patch in a lot of pain. I'm like, why am I doing this? You hear what I'm saying, though, is that a 75 pounds was the maximum that a person could carry who was healthy. So when they gave you a talent of gold, you were fully laden with prosperity. You could carry as much prosperity as you can carry with that talent. You see that saying? And two would be a lot, you know? And then they had, which I thought that was really in it, 6,000 shekels, 10 changes of clothing. That's a lot of money, huh? 1,200 pounds. That's a lot. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Okay. So he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which led, when this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you Naaman, my servant, that you may cure him of his leprosy. Guys, I want you to just switch your brains, and I want you to see the typology here or the symbolism. Somebody comes to you with a letter that says healing is going to happen, and all this wealth comes with it, and there's a servant that delivers this written message from the king. That represents Jesus, the king, sending somebody with the word of God and with the blessing of the prosperity of the kingdom of God with it. There it is. And they go to the king of Israel and look at his faith level here. Here is the king of Israel, the head honcho, the number one dude, selected in the line of David, right? You'd think this man would have faith. You'd think Naaman would have had faith. No, the little girl had faith. Naaman's faith only took him to the place where he was willing to try anything. I'll tell you what, God can work with the little girl, and God can work with Naaman if you're willing to do whatever. Just whatever. I'll do it, Lord. I've had it with what's been going on. I've just had it. I'll just, even if the little kid tells me to do it, I'll do it. And so now they're going with this letter from the king. This is authority. They're operating in authority. They get there and look at the king's reaction. See, that was my leg. Okay. Look at what the king of Israel did. He tore his clothes. He tore his clothes. Rip, 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 rip. He hears the situation about healing. Am I God? Am I God? To kill and to make alive, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Am I God? And you know what he's seeing? He's seeing at a potential miracle, he sees it like the end of his life. Do you see how messed up his brain is? And he says, only consider, think about it and see how he is seeking to quarrel with me. He's thinking based on his past experience. Everybody say that again. Let me say it again. He is thinking based on his past experience. What was his past experience with the king of Syria? War. War. Evil. Bad stuff. Think about it. Notice he said, think, consider. And here's the deal. The key to little faith, to great faith is a little child's brain and the way they think. They don't think like we do. Thank you, Jesus, they don't think like we do. You didn't hear the little girl come up with all the reasons why you can't get healed. He came up with all these reasons why he couldn't get healed. Why this wasn't God. Look at all the reasons. Someone give me one of his reasons. Why? What was messing his brain up? Come on. Look at it. What does it say? He says, if you really think about it, he's trying to find a way to really hurt me. So if I try to do something radical for Jesus, it's really going to be worse than better. Right? Isn't that the devil talking? Right? He was betrayed a lot. He was hurt by other people. Hey, anybody in this room ever been betrayed and hurt by somebody else? Don't let that stop you from believing God. Don't let that keep you turning away. Have the faith of a little child. Come on, you see how his brain is like going into, ooh, what about this? You know, that person did that to me and that person. So you're caught up in this mind lock of negativity because of your past. But you got to say, forget the past. Become as a little child. Forget it. Stop tearing your clothes. That'll preach. That's a message right there. Stop tearing up your clothes. You've got the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You've got the armor of the Lord. Stop tearing it off. Take what God is giving you and keep it. Stop ripping it apart with the old mind, the unrenewed mind. Jesus came to renew your mind so that your thinking is not based on your experience. It's based on the kingdom of heaven. It's based on his word. And it's based on your testimony. Hear what I'm saying? It says they overcame the blood of the Lamb they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. What is your testimony? Start telling yourself all the things that God did for you. In spite of you, in spite of the other people, look what the Lord did. What blew me away about being this mission guy to China was all the testimonies he had of all the things the Lord did. Now, one of the pastors to escape the police persecuting him jumped into a pit of poop. So they wouldn't look for him in the outhouse. They looked everywhere for him to arrest him or kill him, and they couldn't find him because they didn't go there. But he did it, and he's alive, and he's telling people about it. And more people are getting saved because he was willing to jump in the pit of poop. You see what I'm saying? And some of them, I have to tell you this, he met pastors who said, I'll be glad if I die for Jesus because he died for me. If I have that honor, I'll take it. But if not, I'm jumping in the pit of poop to not be killed. You see what I'm saying? They weren't acting like they were trying to get killed. There's a big difference. But they realized that if it would come down to that, they would gladly do it. And that is hard to explain to an American. I hate to say that. Just to get in that mindset of a group of people where you know that you could be dying for what you're doing right now. If they caught you. That's kind of amazing. Anyway, I don't want to go off on that. So, but when Elisha, the man of God, look at verse 8, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes. Isn't that funny what came out to him? That king, man, he's acting out again, ripping up his garments. Y'all. It came out to him. Amen. Find some people who have been tearing their clothes and help them. Give them the word of the Lord. Tell them they don't have to rip their garments. God's got clothes for you. He doesn't want you to identify yourself as a messed up person. You're not. You're not. You're not. God's got a word. He's got an answer. So, why have you torn your clothes? Why have you torn your clothes? Let the man come to me that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel. That's Jesus, by the way. So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. Pretty impressive. Now listen to this. This is amazing. Elisha has his big horses, chariots, parks in front of his house, right? He sends out a messenger. He sends out, hey, go say hi to him. I got a word for him. But he didn't go out personally. I think this is crazy. I love it. Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh shall be restored and you shall be clean. And what is God teaching us on that? Yes. 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 God was the man in charge. He sent a messenger too. So it's not about
I am a prophet in Israel. Buy my books, watch my podcast, because I'm the prophet in Israel.
Yes. No, Naaman. No, he didn't. And Naaman, I think that we'll see that Naaman was a humble man, but God had to deal with his brain too. So the king of Israel was messed up in his thinking. And then we see that Naaman was messed up in his thinking because he said, go and wash in, 7 times in the, was it the Jordan River? Okay, I'm going to try to finish. Yeah, which was offensive. Why? Look at the reason, though. He says, now look here. He walks away. He goes away from this thing. I don't know if he took everybody with him. He got the message, took off. And while he's going off, right, he's going, I thought. Behold, I thought. In other words, pay attention. Pay attention. What is this guy thinking that's keeping him from his miracle? Well, it was how it came. It was delivered by a nobody. A nobody. One of the things that I never forget. When the revival broke out in Toronto, I went up there. I think with Barry was when we went up there. A bunch of us went up there in 90, 94, and those times. And I walked up there and I was at that meeting. All right, so I'm up there in Toronto and all this kind of stuff, people falling over, miracles happening, all this kind of stuff. And there was one young lady there. She must have been about 12 years old. 30. She did the chicken walk. Now, you know what a chicken walk is? That's when someone was so overcome by the presence of God. They're like, they can hardly move. And they're like this when they're moving. And I liked all kinds of, I didn't care about many manifestations. Okay. Like if the Lord touched you and you fell over, I was okay with that. And if you were crying in the presence, that's okay with me. Laughing was okay with me. I'd experienced all those. But the one thing that I could not stand that I really didn't like was the chicken walk. That kind of weird, shaky stuff. I thought that was just religious. And I was like, Lord, I'll take whatever you want except for the chicken walk. You know what I'm saying? Because I remember going to a tent meeting. It was just very Pentecostal. And I was like, and they were doing that funny shaking stuff. And you got to understand, I was like, dude, that's just, that kind of stuff where you're just kind of jerking and shaking and really quick motions and stuff. Yeah. That was my term for it. I don't know what anybody else called it. I called it the chicken walk. I don't know where I got that from. So like, okay, so I'm up there in Toronto and I'm like, okay, there was this girl there, about 12, 13, about blonde. She was from Switzerland. Her daddy was preaching and she was doing the chicken walk. And God, man, he took the board of education and smacked me with it. He said, John, he said, you have an attitude towards her because she's doing the chicken walk. I'm not going to touch you unless you get her to pray for you. How many know that God doesn't mind doing that to you? Sometimes God will just tell you right up. He'll get right up in your face and he'll say, boy, you know what I mean? Other times it's more subtle. He'll sneak up on you, Jehovah Seeky. I like those two. But sometimes he'll just tell you right up. You get that girl to pray for you. I said, Lord, anybody but her. Right? So I was like, okay, Lord, I really wanted what God had. Because when I came there in 94, I was spiritually worn out. Spiritually drained. I'd been serving the Lord full time in ministry since 1985. And I was kind of like wrung, you know, sometimes ministry, you don't fill the tank up like you want to. And if you're in ministry, you get it. And I went there and I walked into that room when that first time I saw that group of people from all over the world praising God, I said, this is the same. I recognize it immediately. I said, this is the same anointing that was there at the Jesus days where I was when I first got saved. I sensed it immediately. God was there in such a heavy presence. I hadn't seen that presence for a long time. Not here. It wasn't here, brother. I'm not trying to put anybody down, but I didn't see it here. We had the presence of the Lord, but not that presence. I just knew it. So I'm really going off on this. Sorry. But I want you to hear this story. So I finally obey the Lord. Now I'm going to finish right here and we'll have to finish this in another day because I don't want to keep you much longer. I had her pray for me. And I think eventually, I think I knew who that preacher from Switzerland was, but she came over here and she just kind of went up to me shaking, whatever, just one finger. And I was like, bam. I was done. Like electric shocks.
But she really had something on her, right?
Yeah. But I didn't want to look like that. And you know what I think? I'm telling you. I'm just telling you the truth. If God wants to make a fool out of you, he'll find the thing that will make you feel the foolish and he'll make you do it. Just because he wants soft hearts and not hard heads. And I got a hard head. It's big. Extra large. You hear what I'm saying? And I had to face the fact that I was feeling dry, number one. After serving the Lord and doing everything I knew what to do, I was dry. As good as God was doing stuff in those days. But I knew it was a difference because I know Barry Hesse wasn't the same when he came back from that meeting. I wasn't the same when we came back from that meeting. There were people, we were changed. And it got some people, it ruffled some feathers. I want you to know that God is the best at ruffling feathers in anybody else that I know. And if he wants to ruffle your feathers, just go ahead and let him float. Let him fly. Just let him get ruffled. That means you don't know everything. You've got the faith as a little child. A little child has many issues, but the one issue they don't have is they don't think they know it all. They get that when they're in middle school. Okay? But when they're a little child, they don't think they know it all. And God help us if we think we know it all with all of our experience, all of our things. God will find a way to get you. And it's only because He loves you. 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 And we throw all this other junk in there and we try to make a stew at it when God just wants us to get His love. Just let Him love you. Let Him love you. Let it be about love. Let it be about forgiveness. Let it be about just letting Him love you and you loving Him back. And just let all that other junk that's been thrown in there, get it cleaned out. And just let Him deal with you. And it's not like I made myself a professional chicken walker after that. Do you hear what I'm saying? He didn't do that to me. But if it happens, I'll just do it. You know what I'm saying? All right. Okay, Lord. But I didn't get a certificate in chicken walk. You know what I'm saying? We don't do that with the things of God like that. We let Him work the way He wants to work and do what He wants to do and let Him get to the matter of the heart, which is what's going on here. It's what God really wants in all of us. So let's just pray right now. Father, we thank You that You love us, that You love us, that You love us with an everlasting love. Lord, deliver us from ripping our clothes. Deliver us from tearing our garments. Deliver us from the negative thinking that comes when we encounter the simple faith of a little child. And Lord, we thank You. We thank You that Naaman was willing to humble himself as a little child. He actually listened to the word of the Lord through his little girl, servant girl. And we pray that we would learn to hear You from whatever it comes. Let us listen. Let us listen. Lord, we thank You. And we receive Your love. However, whatever package You have for us, Lord. We just pray in the name of Jesus. We just thank You. Thank You, Lord. Wow. Jesus, we thank You that You have clothed us with righteousness. We thank You that You've covered us. We thank You, Lord, that Naaman washed and he was made white as snow. No longer the black decay of the flesh. I just want to leave you with the one scripture. All right, I'm going to leave you that last scripture. Let's go to the end of the story after he washed. Okay? Look what it says. So he went. Let's all say it out loud. Ready? So he went down, dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan. He did what the word was, right? According to the word of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a what? A who? So it started with the faith of a little child so he could get the flesh of a little child. Same exact words. Same exact words. Don't you think Holy Spirit's making a point here? To have the faith of a little child to get the flesh of innocence. Isn't that what a little child is? It's innocent. They're too young to sin. That's what God wants for us. He wants us to have the flesh of a little child. That's what I got when I got born again. I'm telling you. I got the flesh of a little child. Like I said, the Lord had to use the Board of Education on me as a young Christian. John. That's the old Batman slap. I love it. It's my favorite slap in all of comic done. The old Batman slap. But anyway, there it is. I never saw this before. The faith of a little child, same exact term, he got the flesh of a little child. Okay? By offending his big old head. Okay? God bless you guys. We love you.